I'd like for you to make your way, if you would, over to Psalms 100. Amen. We're going to start there, but we'll be in a few places today. So we'll start with Psalms 100. And I'm glad you prayed for everybody that was going through trials and allergies and all of that. I'm praying my throat's going to make it today. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. You know, this is Thanksgiving week. Many folks will be meeting with family and loved ones. Many will not, but many will. There was an interesting article that appeared in the Philosopher's Magazine, written by an atheist. And the title of his article was, Thank Who Very Much. Thank who very much? Because, you know, when you're an atheist and it begins to swell up in your heart that you should be thankful, who do you thank? That's the atheist dilemma. I believe we're supposed to be thankful all the time, you know, not just once a year on Thanksgiving Day, but we're supposed to live a thankful life as Christians. In fact, the Bible reminds us repeatedly how thankful we're supposed to be. But this particular week, our country has designated a particular day to remind us that we're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to be thankful people. The Bible tells us that the Christian life is supposed to be a life of gratitude, gratitude to our Creator. Old Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the old English preacher, once said that we are in a wrong state of mind if we are not in a thankful state of mind. That thankfulness and gratitude should actually characterize our lives. We should be a thankful people. And if we stop and thought about it, you could write a list of the things that we ought to be thankful for. Amen. I don't think there's a person among us, unless you're very young, but otherwise there's, I'm sure, not a person among us who isn't going through some kind of trial, trouble, pain, difficulty, some kind of physical challenge or other kind of challenge. And if you're not going through that right now, yeah, tomorrow, you know, is another day. Well, that's not a terrible confession. It's just the facts that every one of us deals with different things. And yet through all of that, God expects us to be thankful. Now, I don't believe we have to be thankful for the aches and pains, but the Bible does say, in everything, give thanks, so that even through the aches and pains, we can remain thankful to the Lord. My body, you know, didn't used to creak and groan when I would get up in the morning, like somebody said today. But I can be thankful that I can get up in the morning and that I can still walk here and get here under my own power. And that my brain still seems to work, you know, most of the time. Praise God. We all believe in for great things, right? Yeah. Psalms 92 in verse 1. I know you're in Psalms 100. Stay right there. Psalms 92 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing. Amen. It's good. It's good for us. And the Lord desires it, us to be thankful, because He is a provider. You know, Brian got up and shared a little bit of a testimony this morning, even for something that happened some time ago. But you know, it's in our heart, it's in our mind, it's in our consciousness that we should be thankful and that we should express gratitude. And sometimes we think about it, you know, somebody did something for us, they helped us in some way, and maybe we didn't express the gratitude at the time that we should have. But it's in our minds to be thankful. And we should be thankful to our Lord. It is a good thing to be thanks, to give thanks unto the Lord. You know, I consider that a privilege. It is a privilege. Amen. To give thanks unto the Lord. Because, you know, many people in this world, they are not thankful. They do not give thanks unto the Lord. In fact, the only thing that comes out of their mouths is anger, complaining, murmuring. We all face challenges. In the challenges, we can be thankful. We can be thankful that we do have a faithful God who loves us, forgives us, He saved us, and that He has a better life than this for us. Amen. That we have an eternity ahead of us. I was walking my little chihuahua this morning, like I do every morning. And, you know, he's an interesting dog, and I think all dogs are the same. It's the dog nature. There's certain places he likes to go, and his great joy in life is smelling where other dogs have gone to the bathroom. Now, for some reason, he derives great joy in smelling those places. So I walk him, and he wants to sniff all the ground, and you know what they do in those places too. I don't let him doo-doo on the neighbor's yards, but you know, otherwise he loves to smell doggy doo. And I thought about how you and I are supposed to, you know, take time to smell the roses in life and take time to smell the flowers. This is what a dog does. Just the opposite. And it's kind of like fallen human nature. They only can see what's nasty and dirty and unclean. And for some perverse reason, they derive pleasure from that. Whereas you and I are supposed to see the mercies and graces and blessings of God that He has bestowed on us, even when we don't feel so good, even when things hurt us, even when we're going through problems and challenges. Let's not be like the dog nature that just sees what's vile and is compelled, drawn towards what's nasty. But let's be drawn towards the blessings and goodness and graces of God. Psalms 100, you hear? Psalms 100 says, "Make a sad noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with drudgery and grumbling and with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." What a privilege to be able to come before the presence of the Lord and sing. Sing His praise. You know what? You have a voice? Then sing. Praise God for a voice. Amen. You have a heart that wants to praise? Thank God for a voice, a heart that wants to praise. Don't you know that the Lord you serve, He is God. He is God. He has made us. Not we ourselves. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. What a privilege. What a blessing. So enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's where our heart's supposed to be. Enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord, He is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Verse 4, be thankful unto Him. You see, the atheist dilemma is, who do they thank? There's something in the human heart that desires to express gratitude. It's innate. It's innate in the human heart. If you walk into some of these panoramic views across the nation and across the world, and you see the beauty of it all, something inside of you just swells up, and you want to thank a benevolent creator. Amen. You see visions of God's handiwork, whether it's in a mountain scene, right, snow-capped mountains, deep, lush, fertile valleys, gentle breeze blowing, bringing in the fragrance of wildflowers, and some of these spectacular scenes, and you just want to burst out and thank a benevolent creator. Amen. That he's good. Because, you know, God didn't have to make things beautiful. He could have just made everything gray. He didn't have to give us the ability to appreciate color and texture. But he did, because he's a good God. Everything in life could be just drab and gray, but God gave us beautiful color, all this variety of texture, all this variety of wildlife and nature, all because he is not only God, but he is a good God, a benevolent God. Our hearts just want to swell with the wonder of creation and giving praise. What do you do when you're an atheist? Well, you see, this magazine that I was telling you about, the Philosopher's Magazine, the atheist who wrote the article said, well, whenever this happens to me and I feel something swelling up inside of me, you know, he don't know what to do with this. What do you do with this feeling this that wants to come out in gratitude? He said, I thank the cosmos. I thank the cosmos. The cosmos didn't intend for you to be here if you're an atheist. You are an accident. Listen to what this atheist said. Now, this guy is a professor. He's a brilliant professor, distinguished professor of humanities at Wayne State University. He says, I know that thankfulness is central to Judaism and Christianity, but who do we give thanks to? In his article, he said, this is what happened to him. Hiking through a nearby woods on a late summer day recently, I followed the turning path and suddenly saw a pristine lake. Then I walked down a hill to its edge as birds chirped and darted about, stopping at a clearing to register the warmth of the sun against my face. Feelings welled up, physical pleasure, delight in the sounds and sights, gladness to be out here on this day, but something else as well, curious and less distinct, a vague feeling, more like gratitude than anything else. What does an atheist do with such feelings? Well, you have to hurry up and crush those feelings. He wants to be grateful for what he sees and what he feels, but he doesn't believe that there is a God that exists, so he has to come up with something else to be grateful for. So he thanks the cosmos. The mindless cosmos, which, you know, is really a cop-out, because they use cosmos really as another name for God. It's like thanking Mother Nature, you know, which the pagans do. Oh, we thank Mother Nature. We thank our lucky stars. Well, the Bible says to you and to me that we're to be thankful unto the Lord, the Lord who made us. 1 Chronicles 16, you don't have to turn here, but verse 34 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Christians are told in Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Christian, be ye thankful. This is what we're called to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, a familiar passage. It says, in everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God, that in everything you give thanks. In all of your trials, difficulties, whatever symptoms you're walking out, whatever problems you're facing, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for you. Amen. You want to know? You know, I always wanted to. What's God's will for me? Be thankful. Amen. Yes. Live a thankful life. In fact, God's will for you today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year is that you be thankful. That you have a heart of gratitude and not a heart of grumbling, not a heart of complaint, not like the dog nature that just sees the worst and sniffs out the nastiest. No, let's have a Christian nature, that new nature, Amen. That glorifies God even in the midst of our difficulties. Amen. You got passed over for that promotion? Praise God anyhow. Yep. Be thankful. The Lord still provides. The apartment that you really wanted, or the house, or the car, or whatever it is that you really want, and it didn't work out. Praise God anyhow. Like the old R.W. Shambach song, Hallelujah Anyhow. Hallelujah Anyhow, right? Praise God. Yes, let's, you and me, be grateful. Now here's a question I have for us today. We know we're supposed to be grateful. We've been talking over the last few months about following Christ, being followers of the Lord, following His teaching, His message, and following His example. Here's a question. What in the life of Christ, His years of ministry that we have recorded in the Gospels, what was he specifically thankful for? Four times, four occasions, the Lord specifically gave thanks to God his Father. Four times he specifically gave thanks to God his Father, and I would like for us to consider those four things today. So we're going to look at four different passages of Scripture. Four scriptures, four times the Lord gave thanks. Can y'all run with me a little bit? All right, first of all, Matthew chapter 15. Let's make our way over there. Matthew chapter 15, where the Lord gave thanks. You know, he walked our dusty roads and breathed our air and drank our water, ate our food, wore our clothing. God became man and walked among us. Four times it's recorded that he stopped and gave thanks to God the Father. What was he thankful for? First, he was thankful for the Father's provision. He was thankful for the Father's provision. Matthew 15, we're going to read beginning in verse 29. And Jesus departed from there and came near unto the Sea of Galilee. He went up into a mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see. They glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on this multitude, because they've continued with me now for 3 days. They've nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. His disciples say unto him, where are we going to get enough food to feed this crowd? Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven, and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and notice these three words, and gave thanks. Amen. He took the seven loaves, he took the few little fish. He gave thanks. He broke them. He gave them to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came to the coast of Magdala. 4,000 men, not counting women and children, and he fed them with a few fish and 7 loaves. I know this is a familiar account to all of us. We've read it many times before. But today I would like to actually draw our attention to a few things that I think should stand out. It's Thanksgiving week. We're thinking about being thankful, or at least we should always be thinking about being thankful. But let's notice first here that our Lord, our Master, our Savior gave thanks for the Father's provision. He gave thanks for the Father's provision. He was thankful for what provision there was, even though it was not enough. He was thankful for the provision there was, even though it was not enough. It'd be real easy when you don't have enough to just complain. But he was thankful for what there was. You see, my intent here is for us to see how we can apply this to our lives, right? So that we can be thankful for what there is, for what we have, even though what we have may not be enough, or it may not seem to be enough, or it may not be exactly what we wanted or exactly what we hoped for. Can you be thankful for the provision that there is? Israel was given manna in the wilderness, but you know, they couldn't find it in their hearts to really be thankful. And so they murmured and complained, and it was a constant problem with them, their grumbling and ingratitude. Let you and me not be ungrateful people. Can we be thankful for what there is? And here's another little thing I'd like for us to consider here. The Lord gave thanks to the Father for this provision, even though it was very meager. Amen. When I say meager, you know what that means, just very plain. Just some loaves and a few little fish. It was meager provision. It wasn't a banquet. It wasn't a 5-course meal, let alone a 7-course meal. It was meager provision. It was not enough of a provision. It wouldn't even meet the need, not by a long shot. But he was thankful for it. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. And you know, he's our example, right? So the Lord, our Savior, the man, was thankful to God, his Father, for the provision. And therein is a lesson for us. Whatever the Lord supplies, we can be thankful. You may not live in the finest place, but can you be thankful for what you have? Can you be thankful for what you have to wear? Your closet may not be full of the finest clothes, but can you be thankful for what's there? Can you be thankful for meager provision instead of complaining? What? Beans again? Can you be thankful that you have something to eat? And here's yet another little insight I'd like for us to draw from this passage. The Lord was thankful for the little that they had before God gave them much. Before it was multiplied, he was thankful for the little that they had, right? There's no amount too little to be thankful for. Luke chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but it says, He that is faithful in that which is least, that means the little amount, is faithful also in that which is much. He that is unjust or untrustworthy or dishonest or treacherous in that which is least, also unjust in much. So if we can't be thankful for the little, the principle applies, how can you be thankful for the much, right? Here's yet another little tidbit I think we can draw from this passage. The Lord was not too proud to pray to give thanks to his Father for the provision. Like sometimes I think pride gets in our way of being as grateful as we should be. Maybe in a restaurant before you eat. Maybe in a public place. Maybe it's our pride. Maybe that we won't bow our head, that we won't pray and give thanks. And you know, sometimes too, I think that people, especially in our generation, get the idea that we're just entitled to this. But the Lord was thankful to his Father. Didn't have this entitlement mentality, you know. He was thankful for his Father's provision. We can learn that, right?
Amen.
All right. Here's a second thing that the Lord stopped and gave thanks for. I think we can learn from this. Second, he was thankful for the Father's revelation. The revelation, the profound revelation that the Father gave to common people. The revelation of God given to common people. Just a few chapters over in Matthew 11, if you'll look over here with me, Matthew 11, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Y'all hanging? All right. Verse 25. At that time, Matthew 11, 25, Jesus answered and said, and here it is, I thank thee, O Father. Jesus is giving thanks. Our Savior is giving thanks to the Father. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, here we have an interesting little insight. And that is that this revelation that who Jesus is. You see, verse 27. No man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The revelation of who God is, of who Christ is, that is a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace that Jesus said, I thank you for that revelation that you chose, because it is good in your sight. You chose to give it to babes. Babes meaning you and me. You know, the childlike. Those who were not the intelligentsia of the world. One version actually translates it that thank you for revealing it to the childlike. The childlike. That's who we are. We are the childlike. Praise God. I am thankful. One version translates it this way. Listen. Jesus said, my Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I am grateful that you hid all this from wise and educated people and showed it to ordinary people.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Ordinary people. You know, the wise and prudent, you know who the Lord was talking about. He's talking out of personal experience here. Because the wise and prudent, these would be the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and all of those who rejected him, rejected his message, In fact, wanted nothing. They were the wise and prudent. They were the ones who were so supposed to be so educated. And who did the Lord reveal himself to? Fishermen. Ordinary people. Common folk. Working class people. Not that there were never any people who were among the highly educated who got saved. Because look at the Apostle Paul. Very highly educated. He would have been a doctor in the law. You know, we're talking about the Old Testament law. He would have probably been the equivalent of having several PhDs. He was extremely educated. But, you know, he was rare. Yeah. He was very rare because most of the Lord's disciples, when he made disciples, they were really from the common, ordinary people. A bunch of fishermen. Now, fishermen are pretty coarse. When I say coarse, it's just they're not going around in tuxedos and suits. You know, they are ordinary working class people.
Right. Amen.
Kind of like us.
Yep. That's right.
And the revelation of who Christ is, because it was good in the Father's sight to reveal himself to the ordinary people. You see, the elite, the intelligentsia, they're so full of themselves. They have no use for God, no thoughts of God. They worship themselves, if anything.
That's right.
Like, you know, like this atheist. Well, I can be thankful to the cosmos. Actually, he said something else. I can be thankful to myself. Why is that? Why? Because I got this wonderful education, and it's made me, you know, he didn't say this, it made me superior to others, but you know that's what he's thinking. Made me so superior, so elite, I'm so far above others, I can reason things out, while all of these ignorant masses, they still are giving thanks to some God that it doesn't even exist. In his mind, it doesn't exist. And then we wonder, which one is the foolish one? When we look at the wonders of our benevolent Creator,
you're right,
and the goodness of our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember when, over in Matthew 16, when the Lord asked his disciples a question, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Oh, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say this and some say that." And the Lord, then he got very, very specific and said, "Who do you say that I am?" He wanted Peter to tell him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, without hesitation, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." You remember what the Lord told him? The Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you." That is, you didn't get this from somebody else. You didn't read this in a book somewhere. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you. The revelation of God came from the Father to ordinary people. Now, you know, we can be thankful for that. That you don't have to be highly educated. In fact, I don't believe that it's being educated that shuts the gospel out to people. That's not the case at all. Let me tell you what shuts the gospel out. Pride. Pride is what shuts the gospel out. The Lord resists the proud. He gives grace. That grace consists of sight, spiritual sight, spiritual understanding. He gives that. To the humble. The humble, that would be the simple. The common. And look, it's not ignorance either that lets the gospel in. It's humility. See, pride will keep the gospel out. It's not being uneducated that lets the gospel in. There's nothing wrong with education. It's humility that lets the gospel in. realizing that we are not all sufficient in ourselves,
Amen.
That we did not make ourselves. We have a maker. We have a creator.
Amen.
And the ability to know that is a gift of great grace, great grace. Here's the third time the Lord stopped and prayed and gave thanks. John's Gospel, chapter 11, you can make your way over there. The Lord Jesus was thankful in John 11 that God the Father heard his prayers. John 11, verse 39. The Lord is standing at the graveside of Lazarus, his friend. Y'all are familiar with these accounts. These are not accounts that you are unfamiliar with. They're familiar accounts. The Lord said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, "Lord, by this time, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Did I not say unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, what's he doing here? He's praying to his Father a prayer of gratitude. And what is he being grateful for? The fact that God the Father hears his prayers. He said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me."
Amen.
Thank you for hearing prayer.
Amen.
Psalms 65 and verse 2 calls God, "O thou that hearest prayer." He's the God who hears prayer. That means he'll hear your prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
And here's what the Lord said, "And I knew that thou hearest me always." You always hear my prayer. And God the Father will hear your prayer.
Amen.
Even when it doesn't seem like it.
Thank you, Lord.
Even when it seems like nothing is changing, things are going on like they've been going on, if anything, getting worse. We've all been there. In some ways or others.
Definitely.
He said, "I knew that you hear me all the time, but because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, "Loose him. Get him out of those grave clothes and let him go." Here's a prayer of gratitude before there was a miracle of resurrection. A prayer thanking God the Father for hearing him. Prayer of gratitude before he saw the miracle. Before there was power, there was prayer.
Amen.
Before there was a miracle of Lazarus coming forth from a grave, there was the Lord thanking the Father for hearing his prayer. And not just that day, but always. "You always hear my prayer," he said. "You always hear me." He thanked the Father for hearing his prayer. You know, in the life of the Lord, this was a very sad and tragic event, because Lazarus, as you've read this account before, you know Lazarus was a close friend of the Lord's. He was a very close friend. They had a real kindred spirit. And when the Lord was away, Lazarus got sick. Apparently it was something that struck him quickly, because within a few days he died. I don't believe Lazarus was an old man. He's probably older than the Lord, but he had plenty good years left to live. But You know, sometimes in life, terrible, tragic things occur. And sometimes it appears that the Lord has done nothing to interrupt, to stop it, to change it. This happens in every life. So here's a tragic event. And when the Lord came, when he showed up, well, he saw the grief, he saw the tears, he saw the heartache, he saw everything that was going on. If you back up with me just a little bit, verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, Mary is weeping, of course Martha's weeping, verse 33, same chapter, John 11, and also the Jews weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He was deeply, deeply moved, groaned. He was affected by what he saw, excuse me, and what he heard.
Amen.
He said, "Where did you lay him?" And they said, "Well, come see." In verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, but a verse full of emotion, the Bible says Jesus wept.
Amen.
So we see where he was groaned. He was troubled in his spirit. This really affected him. And he wept. Y'all praying for my voice, huh?
Amen. That's
he wept and shed tears here in great grief. I mean, this was personal. This is his personal experience here. But he did more than groan. He did more than weep. He prayed, verse 41. Praise God.
Amen.
He prayed.
Father,
I thank thee that thou hast heard me.
Amen.
Now, before there was a miracle, there was prayer. And you know, the Lord prayed this prayer of gratitude, facing what in the natural sense was an impossibility.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
An absolute impossibility. But Jesus knew that if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Nothing is outside of the realm of possibility where there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord wants us to be thankful and to believe that no matter what we're going through, our trial, our adversity, our difficulty, no matter how impossible this mountain may seem, we serve the God of the impossible. Can we be thankful that the Lord hears our prayer?
Amen.
Now, if you're not too sure about the Lord hearing your prayers, remember, we serve the God who heareth prayer.
Amen.
Psalm 65, 2. He's the God who hears prayer. Let's also remember that prayer heard and prayer answered does depend on our relationship with God.
Amen.
If we're out of sorts with God, backslidden, thank you, dear. It's good to have an assistant. Praise God. 1 John 3 and verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him," or from him, "because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Now that's an important condition, you know, the answered prayer. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, he's talking about in prayer, we receive from him. Why would he answer our prayer? Well, because we live submitted lives to the Lord.
Amen.
We're not living selfish lives or self-absorbed lives, right?
Amen.
We can have a relationship with the Lord as well. And we can be confident that he hears our prayer. So that's the third thing. One more time. Jesus prayed and gave thanks. Who remembers what that is? It was when he instituted the communion of the bread and cup. And we're going to look at Matthew's account. The other Gospels have accounts as well, but I want you to look with me to Matthew 26, where the Lord instituted the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26. You know, hang with me just a little bit more.
Amen.
See, my voice is coming back strong. Amen. Praise God. I'm good for another hour now. Praise God. Matthew 26, we'll read in verse 26. As they were eating, Matthew 26, 26, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, this isn't no ordinary meal. He's giving them bread and saying, eat this, it's my body. And then he took the cup, verse 27, he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It says he gave thanks. Verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks. Luke's account mentions the fact that when he took bread, he gave thanks. So he took the bread, Luke's account, Luke 22:19, took the bread and gave thanks. He took the cup here, it's recorded here, he gave thanks. He thanked the Lord for it. The Greek word Eucharisto, if you came from a Catholic background, you know what the Eucharist is.
Yeah.
It basically means to be thankful, to give gratitude, to... In some accounts, it says he blessed it, like we read right here in Matthew 26. He blessed it, which is a little different Greek word, but it means to celebrate, to praise, to ask God's blessing. It even means to consecrate it. But this is a rather profound account because the Lord knew exactly what was going on here.
Amen.
They had eaten together. The Lord knew that this is his final hours on earth, his final hours, because in John's account, it speaks of how the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. And they all wanted to know who it was. And the Lord was dipping his bread into some olive oil. They were not Italian, but Italians got it from the Lord. You know, dip your bread in that olive oil. But he said, whoever I give this to, that's the one that's going to betray me.
Right.
And he handed it to Judas Iscariot.
Right.
And then he told Judas these words, what you do, do quickly.
Yeah.
And you know what happened. Judas went out. He betrayed the Lord.
Right.
So he had only hours to live at this point. He gave thanks for this cup, he gave thanks for this bread. But even as he gave thanks, he knew what they represented. He said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. So he knew what was just ahead. He knew that, you know, this bread that he was giving thanks for was actually represented the body, his own physical body that was about to be shredded.
Yeah.
by a Roman scourge, and pierced by a crown of thorns as mockers stood around him and pretended to worship him, the King of the Jews. He knew that his hands would soon be pierced. He knew that his side would be pierced by a Roman spear. And in all of that, even knowing what he was facing, he said, he gave thanks.
Thank you, Amen.
And he gave thanks for the cup, of course, representing the blood that he would shed on our behalf, because he was establishing what we see right here, a new covenant. Verse 28, this is the blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sins, so that our sins would be forgiven. This is the price that he would pay for our salvation. Even though he was the one that would be paying this awful price, you know, he was giving thanks to the Father. In such a circumstance, even though he was facing a brutal death, not a short,
right,
you know, not a short death, but a long, drawn out, horrendous, slow death, painful death, he knew that the only way that you and I would ever have any fellowship with God the Father, the only way you and I would ever get to heaven, was if he paid this terrible price. And he was willing to pay it for you and me.
Thank you, Lord.
So he lived the life we couldn't live, perfect.
That's right.
And he died the death for us that he didn't deserve.
Amen.
He gave us his life by giving us his death, so that he could see beyond the immediate suffering that he was facing and see what he was purchasing for all eternity. He was purchasing you and me. We too have to see beyond this life and these tears and these pains and these sorrows and this suffering. 'Cause as you know, none of us are exempt from the sufferings of this life or the sufferings of this world. No matter how much you love your loved ones, you can't always hold on to them.
Amen. That's right.
No matter how much you may love certain things, you can't always hold on to it. In fact, everything in this world is perishing. Everything is perishing. Everything is in the process of being taken away. Including us. But the Lord saw through the temporary sufferings of the immediate and saw the eternal blessedness of salvation, of what was just ahead. And he thanked his Father for this bread and this cup, which means he was in effect thanking his Father for you and for me, because he was buying our redemption. Our names are written on those stripes that were beaten on his back and his side. Your name is there. Your redemption was there because you are his son, his daughter, his chosen, his beloved. Here is Thanksgiving week. None of us here are not going through troubles.
Amen.
But all of us have so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
And you know, the reality is, even facing imminent death, the Lord could give thanks. Because death is so temporary. Life... life is what's just ahead. Did I tell you all the story about the pastor who went to pray for someone in his church? This man was dying. And the pastor went to his bedside, took the man's hands, and as he prayed for him, after he prayed, the man looked at the pastor and he said, "Pastor, I know this is the last time you're going to see me in the land of the living." And the pastor said, "Oh no, my son." He said, "This is not the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. We're going to the land of the living. This is the land of the dying because everyone here is dying. We have to make sure we remember this is not our home. We're just temporary passing through. We're transients here. But let's be thankful for the life that He's blessed us with here. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. But even more thankful for life beyond this life. The fact that your name's written in His book. We can be thankful for our great redemption. Thankful that God hears your prayers. Thankful for the Lord's provision, whatever that provision is. Can we be thankful? Father, we do give you thanks today. We thank you for all of your provision, for all of your blessings, for all of the privileges you've bestowed upon us, none of which we deserve. We thank you for the revelation of Christ to our hearts, the revelation of our Redeemer, our Savior, our one and only hope. We thank you, Lord, for the redemption that you yourself provided for us, a redemption we could not earn, we do not deserve. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and that you always do. Even when we falter and fail and stumble, you never stop loving us. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that you've granted to us, forgiveness we do not deserve. But, Lord, help us to forever be, today, this week, and every day, a grateful people. And bless your people, bless them one and all, I ask, with your peace and your comfort. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen.